Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Han.
Happy Wine Shirt Wednesday to those that participate in the fun. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, another hour here on Sports Daily. Shreyas Lotto will join us a little bit later. We've got some Travis Kelce news to get to here as well. Plenty to talk about on a Wednesday. It's All What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano. Perfect for graduation parties, meetings, and reunions. Visit www.wichitabrew.com to begin your booking at the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano, where groups gather. KU 104-100 overtime winners against TCU, a furious second-half comeback to get that thing into overtime. All the drama of Darren Peterson on and off the floor. We'll get to all of it with Shreyas Lotto. I sent this to you, TJ. I didn't do this, but there was a point you get 5-1 on that comeback. Did you take it?
No. Chicken? Yes. I appreciate my dollars. I don't know the last time I bet on a single
5 times more your dollars.
I don't know the last time I put a single leg down that had odds better than like +200.
See, you used to be a let's hammer the money line now guy.
Now I just sit on my coattails and take my money lines.
Your maturity bores me. I didn't take that one either. Yeah, that'll change things, won't it? But that's why you make, you know, $5 and $10 bets. So you don't have to worry about it as much. I didn't take it either. I really did think about it. I looked it up just to be funny in a text thread, but I was like, man, you know, 5-1. I was more interested in the +9.5. I'll be honest. I was like +9.5. Like they're probably getting this game within 10 points. I didn't take either of them. I had them covering. I told you yesterday, I didn't like that line. I was talked into it. I'll just leave it alone. But it brought up an interesting, like I bring that up because I'm seeing these stories. You bring up Travis Kelce and his return. I want to know what the odds are of his return. And then I'm like, where could you even find odds like that? And then it brings up this Poly Market. How much have you paid attention? Poly Market?
It's ruining a lot.
So I was not aware of Poly Market until this Venezuela situation where somebody made whatever $400,000. But then I'm seeing this morning that Poly Market is now defining that not as an invasion. So maybe that win gets nullified and like the people are just I can't believe they would do that. And I'm like, guys, what the hell even is Poly Market? Like,
Do people hear themselves talking if they're complaining about, bro, that's totally an invasion. Cash my bet, bro.
I know, right? And like, why are you trusting this software that even makes that a thing in the first place? It's totally insane. Arbitrary.
I can't believe it's legal. Like, honestly, like, it's insane. Thing. And there's a weird loophole around it. And sports books don't like it, obviously. But like, I can't, like, it's crazy. Like, you can bet on elections, you can bet on everything with the loophole of saying that, like, it's predictive. It's the predictive market. Like, it's not, like, and I don't know what that means, but like, they were exploring, I don't know if they did it or not. I don't, it peruse the Poly Market apps, but like, they were talking about, like, putting lines on like will Jace Brown into the transfer portal at +200, and it's like that is just asking for chaos. It's horrible. Like what?
Like and so my hope is we can nip this in the bud real quick. Now, if you and I want to make a little side bet on something like that, that's the equivalent of what this is. They've basically built a company on people's dumb side bets.
Basically, like, but there can't be a house that can't be legal.
I can't be legal. No, it definitely cannot be legal to run as a business. But it did make me think. I was like, I wonder what the odds are of a Kelce return. They probably have it. I'm not either. I legitimately wasn't even aware of this company until the Venezuela story.
It's crazy.
But I did just Google it. Go old school. And apparently, you know, the odds on wherever the different places that are doing them are about 67, anywhere from 67 to 80% retirement. But I wonder how old that is, too, because, you know, Google will just pull it out of old articles and stuff. So Look, give us the quote again here. So you gave it to us right before we came on the break. And we'll spend a little more time with it in the next segment, but just put it all out there for people. So New Heights dropped when?
This morning, like 5 a.m.
So we got the preview clips yesterday, which is what we were perusing. I was trying to figure out how there was new stuff. So they just didn't put that in the previews. So then this morning, we get the this full.
Again. And all the Taylor Swift accounts are watching it and tweeting out the most significant things, as it usually happens at 5:30 a.m. on Wednesdays because they don't sleep. This morning, from this account, if my body can heal up, rest up, and I can feel confident that I can go out there and give it another 18 to 20, 21-week run, I think I would do it in a heartbeat. And he said, would.
Yep.
That's the word.
So I called it 60-40 earlier this week. I think to me that moves me to 50-50 at worst.
What? Right now. I think it's like 80-20.
You think it leans more to the retirement? Yes, I've got to hear it
more.
I've got to go listen to it.
I haven't heard it either. But, I mean,
but he's telling. So to me, it's, and the only reason I say it shifts it more toward, because that's what I've been feeling for a long time. Like, his brother retired because physically he felt like he couldn't do it anymore. I think the one thing that, and we did this with Andy Reid. We don't do it as much with Andy Reid anymore, but we had been, and we've done, it's the exact same thing. We just assume that they don't still love doing this more than anything. And I think that's the wrong assumption. Andy Reid, outside of his family, doesn't love anything more, and his faith doesn't love anything more than football. I'm not sure Travis Kelce, other than his family, which is growing, I get it. As good as he is and as interested he is so many other things in his life, I'm not sure why we're thinking he's more interested in anything other than football. Like, this dude loves football as much as any player's ever loved football. And he's 36 years old. He's not that old. It's always been a question of, can he still physically do it? He reinvented his body this offseason, right? Is he the same Kelce of 4 years ago, 5 years ago? No, but he's still one of the most productive tight ends in football. So I've always thought it was a little, until he says, like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I think he wants to still do it. So if it is just a question of physically, can he go through the recovery process? The other thing I think is true is he doesn't know yet. I do believe that. But I think there's a pretty good chance that if he feels good in a month, he's like, you know what? Let's go. Mahomes, how you feeling? Like, you can be back? Like, let's do this again. Why not? I'm having more fun doing this than anything else I'll ever do in my life. So why not do it another year?
It's interesting because we talk a lot about his stats and where he's gone from year to year. Where do you probably know them, but not off the top of your head exactly. How do you assess his 2024 to his 2025?
I think he was a better player in 2025. We can pull up his stats real quick.
He had 30 more receiving yards, but he had about 15 less receptions.
Yeah, I think he was a better player in 2025. Yeah. I think in 2024 they incorrectly had to lean on him more than they should have. I think in 2023 they incorrectly leaned on him more than they should have. Tight ends don't age well. Wide receivers don't age well. Tight ends really don't age well. And so, like, when you're talking about Kelce the last 3 years, really, it has been a less explosive Kelce for sure. I don't know that we noticed it quite as much in 2023 because they had to have it, right? Like, they had to have it in 2023. That was the year that it was just like, just get Mahomes and Kelce to the playoffs and watch what happens. Remember, that was 2023. And it was true. 2024, another year older, they still, and this is what I think is so interesting about his potential return. Is Mahomes and the Chiefs coaching staff capable of giving Kelce a lesser role? Because every year it sounds like a good idea, and the rest of the offense isn't good enough for them to do that. Travis Kelce, 76 receptions in 2025, much healthier number, I think, for him. Could be even less. What they need out of Kelce is his connection to Mahomes, right? They don't, Like, you don't design Kelce in for 90 catches. Let other younger guys take that kind of beating and workload. That doesn't need to be what Kelce does anymore.
I don't know. And it's interesting. I mean, this was so the least amount.
Give me the 75 catches, right? For more yards than the 100 catches, where it's just like they're just peppering him with targets because they can't do anything else. That's not a good sign. A good sign is they need him less, but he's still there.
I agree. I don't know. I mean, that's the least amount of receptions he's taken in his entire career since 2015, and it's the outside of last year, it was the lowest amount of receiving yards he's had ever. Outside of last year was the most, at least ever. This was the second least ever.
And so, I think that's a good thing. I think that's I think that's a part of what enhances to me, like, the likelihood. And again, I'm 50-50 at best, but I think it makes it more likely that he comes back if it's like, hey, come back. But like the idea at least isn't going to be for you to come out and catch 100 balls this year. Can you be a great red zone threat? And can you help us pick up first downs, basically? Hell, you don't even have to play all the snaps. That's the pitch I'm making if I'm the Chiefs. Like, we were good with your production this year. Are you good with it? Like, we'll play you less snaps. Like, can you just come help us? Because we got Mahomes coming back from an injury. We don't know what Mahomes can do without you. Why don't you come back and help us figure it out? We'll talk about it next a little more in depth. It's Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Thanks to Crestview Country Club. Boy, it feels like Hawaii a little bit outside right now. Great time to play golf. Be nice to have 36 holes to just pop on by and swing it. You can do that at Crestview Country Club. Give them a call. Ask them about all their different memberships. Golf. Maybe you're not a golfer. Maybe you're a tennis player like my wife. She's certainly up there plenty. Lots of fun stuff to do there. And the best time of the year to join, they tell us, best deals you'll get all year are this time of year. So give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. And we appreciate Crestview Country Club's support. All right,
Jacob, I got a golf nugget for you from Front Office Sports this morning. Exclusive report: Tiger Woods hosting a 300-person invite-only party for his 50th birthday at the Breakers in West Palm Beach. It has its own title sponsor. John Bon Jovi will be performing. Wear a touch of red for the dress code, and there'll be a Masters Champions dinner-themed menu. Did you get an invite?
No, I didn't.
Will you be doing that for your 50th?
Do you think a Tiger Woods party would be fun?
I mean, probably.
Probably.
He was pretty nuts back in the day.
I don't know. He rarely cuts loose, at least in the open eye. So you wonder, like, is Tiger Woods fun to party with? What am I doing for my 50th?
Yeah. Are you hosting a 300-person party exclusive?
I'll tell you.
At Crestview Country Club?
I'll tell you in a decade. Okay. I don't, I'm not afraid of a big party. That you want a 300-person party. That's basically my entire Christmas trip home every year. I mean, we're to the point now in our extended family where my oldest nephew is your age. The grandkid, he might be a little older than you, in fact, like the grandkids now have significant others at the family events. Like we're getting dangerously close to great grandkid time. So like we go home for a party, like it's constantly 150, like just people everywhere. My wife, who's got a very small family, is like, it overwhelms her, but it's like one constant party. So no, I'm not afraid of a big party. Let's go, bring it. Bring it, Tiger. I'll get, I don't know, may not be John Bon Jovi, but we can find somebody that can play guitar.
Monterey Jack.
Yeah, there you go. Happy birthday, Tiger, whenever that happens to be. 50? He's only 50?
That's what it says.
That's interesting. I figured, I thought he was older than that. Travis Kelce's not there yet.
Go ahead.
Kelce's 36. Everyone wants to know if he's going to retire. It becomes a much bigger story. I understand why. The Taylor Swift thing wouldn't be as big a story. It'd be a big football story. It'd be a big football story. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best ever at his position. But I think it's taken on a new life because of the Swifties. And it has become a huge like pop culture story, which has to be annoying if you're Travis Kelce. Especially if that is his sentiment of like, I just want to see if my body recovers. Like it's pretty simple. And I do, I believe him too. Like, can he recover? Like he knows, like he'll have an extra month to do it. Again, why I'm kind of leaning back to 50-50. He's going to have an extra month of recovery before he would normally have to make this decision. He gets to take the next 3 or 4 weeks, which is longer than he ever gets, to feel good enough to do it again. I think the chances are pretty good.
And then retire? It gets
into the, do the Chiefs want that, right? Do Chiefs fans want that?
You and think I'm the chances are pretty good that he comes back?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. If it's really a physical thing, which he said, you know, on his New Heights podcast, that it's about recovering his body. If that's really the case and he has another month to recover, and his workload, although it probably was still a bit too high, although I'm pretty comfortable with 75 catches, was less this year. So, you know, the recovery itself should be a little bit easier. And he has more time to do it. And he's watching his boy have to come back from an ACL. I mean, I think Travis Kelce's wired the way as a good, like a good bro, like a good buddy. And a dude that just loves football to say, man, I'm not going to leave my boy Pat hanging like that, coming off an ACL injury. I'll come help him out another year. Like I could totally see it.
I think in the same breath, the ACL injury makes it harder for him to come back. Like it's not the, all right, we got one more year. Let's go kill this thing. And it's like, you're going to have to convince him that there may be a month where you're not playing with Patrick Mahomes, which he's never done before.
And that month was like the last month of this season, which wasn't very fun. Right.
Exactly. I
agree. So that's what I mean. The time here is the key. There will be enough time. I also think Mahomes is going to recover from this well, because it fits his DNA to do it. So if you've got an extra month, and really it'll be about 2.5 months to look at this, to talk to Mahomes, to spend time in the offseason, to totally step away from everything, right? Just get, like if you're Kelce, you have to get away from all of it as much as you can. You got to step back and just try to be content watching the games on TV, knowing you're not participating, and see if you like that. See if you like how that feels, right? Take physical inventory of how you feel. If you're comfortable with it and you're like, you know what, this ain't so bad sitting around drinking beer, eating chicken wings and, you know, not having to worry about my body all the time and do all that stuff, then yeah, maybe it's like this time has helped me understand that I'm ready for the next chapter of my life. But if you're sitting there at the same time thinking, God dang it, we should have been playing in these games. Like this should be us right now. Like that's the thing that never goes away. Like you're never going to satisfy
it. This is the first time since what? 2019 that he will have playoff games to watch outside of a Super Bowl, right? Like he's been in the AFC Championship every year the last, what, 7 years? Is that right?
Yeah. And he's been in the playoffs every year, right? He's been in the playoffs every year of his career. 2015 was that was the year, that was the last, so all but one. Yep. right? Is that right? Yeah. All but 1 year 15. They've been in the playoffs. Mahomes took over in 2018. Kelce had 3 years before Mahomes with Alex Smith. I think Now, did they make it in 2013? When was the last time? 2014? He's been in the playoffs every year, right?
He missed it once.
Okay.
I know he missed it once. It was either 14 or 15. I can't remember, but he missed it once.
Or is that just the division titles? I don't remember. Either way, like, he's not used to this. That's a lifetime ago. He doesn't remember what that feels like. But, like, it's, again, it would be different if he wasn't good at football anymore, too. And that's not the case either. He's still very good at football, in my opinion. I don't think it's his fault that the Chiefs have relied on him too much in the last two or maybe even 3 years. I think it's a product of him still being good at football and them not knowing what else to do. Or maybe it's Mahomes not knowing what else to do, which, again, Mahomes is about to have to do two things at once then, play without his boy Kelce and come off an ACL injury. That's true. You know, that I always when we're in these situations, I don't know if you do that. I try to put myself in that. Like, I try to put myself in there. Like, you know, if I was Kelce and I was, as you know, obviously everything's the same and it's just me. Yeah, I might be inclined. Like, Mahomes, that's my best friend. I mean, I think we think that they're best friends. They're at least good friends. He's going to have a lot on his plate next year. Boy, I could help him out 1 year. And I kind of still love doing this. Like, that's what I try to do when you're going through this. He's only 36 years old.
I don't know. I mean, I get the sentiment of that, but, like, it's not something of, like, I'll come back and help out for a month. It's like, you're signing up to go get beat up on.
Which is what he's talking about there.
19 or 20. And, like, I don't know if you heard this, Tom Brady talking about this when a Phillip Rivers thing happened. Somebody asked him on the Fox set, like, could you come back and play? And he's like, I could come back and just whoop up on everybody for a 3 week stretch, but I cannot do it for an 18 week stretch. Like, there's no way I could last that long. So that's the biggest thing. And I guarantee that's the one thing that he's thinking about, is that, like, he's going to miss playing for sure. And he'll miss that first month like no other. But then by the time it gets to January and it's freezing cold and your body just, it feels awful. Like, that's the part that's going to be coming onto his brain about, like, I don't know if I can do that again, man.
I get, and that's what he's saying too. I've got to decide if I can make an 18 or 20 week run at this. I that is what he's saying. And it's what he should be thinking about, right? I think he physically, he could do it. He could do it at a high level. Does he want to? Is doing it at a level equivalent to this year enough to scratch the itch? I think is another good question. Like, are you able to put in that much work and energy and be option three or four in the offense? Is that worth it to you? Are you wired to be able to do that? Are you wired to know that if you're going to make it 20 weeks into the season, Andy Reid's going to have to only let you play 60% of the snaps? Can you handle that mentally? Not just physically, but, like, can you deal with all that? I think all that stuff, but he's got 3 months to think about it. And if he wanted to retire, he could do that now. That's the other thing that keeps, like, the longer this goes, like, if retirement was the obvious option that some people want to think it is, he would do that now. He could just be like, I'm done.
The other part of that, though, is that this was a question somebody asked him about. I think Sam McDowell asked about this, that, like, the last season, he, you know, Andy Reid made a point to be like, go home for a month and, like, don't make a decision next week, because especially in the Super Bowl, like, you lose in the Super Bowl. If you wait 5 days, you're gonna be like, I'm coming back, man. I'm coming back. But if you wait a month, like, and that's what he's going to be doing here. He's going to be sitting, and to your point, he's going to sit and watch the playoffs and have the perfect opportunity to decide, like, remove yourself from the season and don't make a decision based on, man, that sucked, I got to come back. Like, make a decision based on, do you want to play another year?
100%. Like, do you want to?
So first? That's what I think. I can't imagine. I don't know. I think that we'll get a decision right around Super Bowl time.
That'd be, three, 4 weeks. It's going to take a second, but yeah, watch these games. Be at home. Go be a boyfriend or a fiance. Like, go be a podcast host and a fiance and sit around and watch games and just see if you're good with that. See if you're comfortable with that, because the reality is most players don't get the choice of retirement. They're forced to retire because they're either not good enough or their body won't let them play anymore. Neither of those things are the case for Kelce. So he's still good enough. His body appears to be good enough. Now, can it, you know, that's what he's got to figure out. And only he knows that. But at least physically, while he's out there playing, he looks like he's fine. So, like, those are the things that force most people to retire. He's only 36. He's got a lot going on for him off the field. But that stuff's always there. That stuff doesn't, nothing changes about that if he plays another year of football. Nothing does. He's still going to marry Taylor Swift, and he's still going to be a movie star when he's done playing football. Like, not going to change anything. I think that we're getting a real evaluation. Like, I think there's a large group of people that just assumed it's going to happen, and I think it's too early for that. I don't think, just like we used to do with Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid's not as old as you think he is, A, and B, he loves this as much as he loves anything. So why would you walk away from it unless you have to?
I'm torn between two, like the two storylines of it being like the old man Chiefs are going to try one more time. Like
that's what they can't let happen. Right.
And like, I mean,
if Kelce comes back, it doesn't have to be that way. That's what the job of the front office is, to put less on Kelce. That doesn't mean there's still not a better team with Kelce out there. It just means somebody else step the hell up.
What's Chris Jones' contract like? Does he have, he's coming up, isn't he?
More years, I think.
So next year and the year after?
I think so. Okay, I don't know what the option years are.
People were talking about when Chris Jones' timer is coming up, because he's getting up there as well. And it's just like that's the storyline that I keep clinging to a little bit. If he does come back, is it like it would be the one last ride for Kelce and Jones?
I think they get there out after next year.
So
it's a good pivot point. If Kelce comes back, it doesn't have to be run it back. They got the number 9 overall pick.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much as like it won't be. It can't be as run it back as it was this year. It's impossible to be.
Well, yeah, but contractually, it won't be.
There will be. I'm saying the fact of like there is a storyline that exists to where it is him saying like me and Chris Jones and Mahomes and Kareem Hunt. And like that new, like the next year could be the last time. Next year could be the last time. And there was speculation this year. Next year could be the last time that we see Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones in a Chiefs uniform.
I don't think you're seeing Kareem Hunt next year.
I think he's coming back.
Maybe in a small role. I think that the all the things that we've said about how the Chiefs need to attack this offseason don't have to change at all. Right. If Travis Kelce comes back, they still need to lean into their offensive line. They still need to run the ball more. They still need these wide receivers to live up to their draft position. They're going to have to replace a lot of key pieces on the defense. None of that changes. And if Kelce comes back, he just is another option for them. He just can't be the top option or the second option anymore. Chris Jones needs help on the defensive line. It can't just be all Chris Jones. That has nothing to do with those players individually. That has everything to do with Brett Veach's job now. That's Brett Veach's job and Andy Reid's job to fix. What are we worried about? These are good players that can help them be better. It's not their fault that the team is not been capable of letting go of what was 3 or 4 years ago. We don't have that conversation about like that with Patrick Mahomes. They're all good players. They can all exist in just in different ways.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's going to be such an interesting offseason. I saw somebody, I don't know who it was, some mock draft said they were going to take the Oregon tight end at 9.
No.
And I was like, well, that's not going to happen.
I don't think they would either way. I mean, maybe. But old Texas tech man on X or on YouTube who chimes in from time to time says David Bailey out of Tech. That makes some sense.
What a crossover episode that we've got. Old man Texas Tech. We might draft the Texas Tech Red Raider.
Yeah, his Red Raiders are, boy, if they really are, we talked about it yesterday, they're really spending the kind of money that's being thrown out there. They got the top defensive lineman in the country yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. out of Wake Forest. They added another piece. So now, you know, top defensive lineman, probably the top two defensive players in the portal between Austin Romaine and this dude out of Wake Forest, and then the top offensive player by some people's accounts in Sorsby. Like, they're doing it again. And good for them. Good for them, I guess. It's good for the Big 12. I'll say that. I love it for the Big 12. And they're going to put the pressure on other people to do it. But yeah, look, the Chiefs have, first and foremost, they got a hit on a pick. You got to get it. You're not getting in the top 10 very often with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. Got to make it count. Yeah. When was the last time they had a top 10 pick? Have they had one since Eric Fisher?
Nope. That's the one.
So, like, I mean, that's how long it takes when you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. The floor of a great quarterback in the NFL is staggering. You don't get this opportunity very often. You have to get it right. You can't screw it up. Don't reach. Don't take a position of need. Don't do any of that junk. Just take the absolute best player on the board. Or
I saw
trade.
I saw the stat of the playoff picture. 12 of the 14 teams have a first round quarterback. And the two that aren't are Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts. And so it's like, you know, if you have a good quarterback,
it's
make the playoff.
As old as time. Like, you're just not going to be good in this league without a good quarterback. It does not happen.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That insider joining us now, Shreyas Lada, KU beat reporter for the KC Star at SHRE98 on X. Follow along all the KU fun with Shreyas on the beat. Shreyas, I always appreciate your questions as I'm listening back to the news conferences there in Lawrence, asking the people's questions. What'd you make of last night? The range of opinions is wide on this one. But what are your immediate hot take takeaways out of, after that game?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a disaster averted, right? You know, they go in, they escape with a win. You know, they're down 15 with under 5 to go. Really gritty, good win. Especially because they really were playing horrible defense in the second half. I think they let TCU score 64% from the field and like 66% from three. Honestly, Kansas had no business winning that game. You know, TCU, a mix of KU's defense, you know, kind of clamming up in the net in the last few minutes of the game. And on top of that, TCU choking the game. Too many game times where they just, I don't know, they couldn't inbound the ball. It was bad. Kansas avoided doing something I hadn't done since 1982-83, which is lose the first two league games, which is, I think, a big deal to avoid that. Peterson played, I think, really good, you know, for the 32 minutes he played. And I think he could have been much better, even though he didn't shoot the ball well. He, you know, got to the line a lot, 15 free throws, made 13 of them. You know, just kind of a special talent. And obviously he didn't play overtime, but those 5 seconds that he did play – at the end of the game there turned out to be pivotal, and he knocked down those free throws.
It's there's a little bit of irony tucked away, is that it's the first time that Darren Peterson finished a game in regulation and then didn't finish the actual game because there was overtime to cap on at the end of that. But I was wondering, this is something I asked Jacob, for you who was in Allen Fieldhouse last night, was it in your mind that he could have come back in the game? Was it something to where it was just kind of like looking over there? It's like, are they going to put him in? Is he done? What's going to happen here?
I mean, I know when it got closer, I kept on thinking about it of like, is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? You know, and if you're a competitor, which clearly Peterson is, you know, you want to be out there in those moments, right? Especially in that last possession where you're 5 seconds left and everyone knows it should be Peterson taking that shot. It was interesting. Bill Self said afterwards that he didn't ask him, you know, if he wants to come back or not. He just put him back in for 5 seconds, which to me tells you like where things are at. But also I think it was interesting. I think Bill said, he didn't say this in the press conference, but I think Peterson wanted to come back in, even if it were just 5 seconds. He left the game because he had onset of cramps again. That's what Bill said. And he was feeling it even when shooting free throws. So the minute after he shot free throws, he asked Bill to take him out of the game.
What does that look like? Do we know? We saw the wraps on the legs, which is a little bit different. but do you think there's just like a working understanding of like, that's it? Like Peterson will just say, I got to come out now. I mean, that it feels like that's what it is. Like he goes until he feels it. And then he's like, I got to come out now. Sometimes in the middle of a play that the optics on are really, really bad. But, you know, for whatever reason, is it just are they just trusting Peterson completely to let him know?
I think a little bit of that, but also like just seeing how he looks, right? In the sense of like, is he moving with the same burst? Because I think in the first half, his burst is the best it's looked since he's been at KU, right? That's why he could get to the line. He wasn't settled for jump shots. He was getting to the free throw line. And he did his good thing in that second half. But I think that's like the balance KU has right now of like figuring out how much they can let him play. And I think Bill is trying to figure that out too. Like what's the sweet spot of numbers or minutes? I don't know if there is one. I think it might just come down to, okay, well, Peterson's going to have to tell us when he's hurt or feeling it, and then we'll take him out. But we're going to use him as much as we can until it gets to that point.
Trace, this is something that you've talked about a lot. And last night, because you know, obviously the play where the ball goes behind his head and goes out of band, like KU people, like just a groan. It's just like that's the epitome of the situation. And so I get on social media. I look up Darren Peterson to see what people are saying about this topic. And all I see is a bunch of NBA draft guys saying, can you believe how good Darren Peterson is? Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like, nobody outside of the state of Kansas seems to care about this.
Yeah, and you're right. I'm going to have a story about this. I talked to my draft guy, and nobody really cares. They still have number one on their board. A lot of these people, scouts, et cetera, have had Peterson with a comfortable edge coming into the season because they've seen him play basketball at full strength. Jeremy Wu, my guy from ESPN that I talked to, I know I talked to him a lot about draft stuff. And he was like, yeah, you know, Peterson has an edge compared to Bonzo and Boozer coming into the season. Cause I've seen him play, you know, full strength. He's like, I'm not super worried until it becomes like a debilitating condition. And I think that's kind of the NBA's viewpoint. Until it affects them, they're kind of like, eh, you know, obviously everyone wants to watch him play because when we were at the UCF game, there was like 20 plus scouts. And let's be honest, they weren't coming to watch anybody but Peterson on that floor, right? Like real consideration to be a lottery pick. There was no, the only person was Peterson on the floor. So obviously optic wise, it's not a great look that he can't finish basketball games, but also the NBA is enamored with talent and potential. And clearly Peterson, even when he can't play fully health, is a very talented basketball player. Like the fact that he dropped 32 points in 32 minutes when he clearly could not play a full game to me is impressive. And, you know, like, unfortunately for Kansas fans, his draft stock is not as dependent on him playing or not as everyone thinks. He's still going to be at worst a top three pick, even if Cam Boozer and DeBonzo have years of their lives and somehow get ahead of him. But the reality of the situation is if you're looking at Cam Boozer, you're looking at Bonzo and Peterson, Peterson is putting up numbers at an insane rate. I think I saw the other day, or yesterday, he has 132 points in 159 minutes. Like, how are you going to sit there and not draft him number one overall if he's doing that while not fully healthy? Like, I mean, I can't blame NBA teams. Mm-hmm.
I think that they can live totally separately from each other. Like, I don't really – I guess I'm not as interested yet mm-hmm. in Peterson's NBA draft stock. I'll be interested in that on, you know, April 10th or whatever. I'm more interested in him as a college player, which he's very clearly interested in being right now. Like he's playing through an injury. He doesn't have to play through. Like he didn't have to do any of this. So I definitely don't fall in the camp of KU's better without him or KU should shut him down. I think that's crazy talk. I think KU, and this is what Bill Self has said, has to figure out how to be really good with and without him. We've seen it. Right. We've seen it at times. We've seen him be really good without him. We've seen him be really good with him. How do you do that within a singular game? How does Melvin Council turn it off and on? But here's what I would say, and I'm really curious to get your take on this. Does he need to turn it off and on? Why can't Melvin Council just be great at the same time Darren Peterson's great?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out, to be honest with you, because, I mean, I don't think Peterson, like the UCF game, he was as ball dominant as he was, you know, like I thought he was a lot better of getting his teammates involved in this game, like passing the ball, the UCF game was probably the worst game in my mind of how Peterson's looked. Like, people will point out the 23 points, but he just felt like he was just dominating ball touches, taking too many shots. Like, obviously, Melvin Council had foul trouble and Flory had foul trouble. But to me, the ideal version of this team is, you know, obviously Peterson taking the most shots, but also Council and Trey White, you know, are there to bail him out when he can't get a shot off and are there to be aggressive when Peterson needs a breather and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure why Melvin is still figuring it out. I think, you know, obviously he knows what Peterson is and what he represents. And he knows if he's going to make the league, it's going to be as a role player. So for him, I'm sure it's a different proposition than where he was at, say, Bonaventure, where he was the Darren Peterson of their team, and he was taking a ton of shots, and he was doing a ton of stuff. I think it's easier for him to play the role of, like, option one, I think, because he's so used to it. And when Peterson is out for an extended period of time, I think he knows, and I asked him this after the press conference, of like, he just kind of knows when it's go time, but also his teammates and his coaching staff is telling him, like, hey, it's time to go.
That's right. And you hear all the barks around Allen Fieldhouse. Jacob, I don't know if you're aware of the bark trend or not. We can talk about that off the air. It's a big deal. It's cool. This is a conversation we had yesterday, Shreyas. Obviously, it feels like it's Groundhog Day. We've had this conversation before. But this week is so significant because he hadn't played in 3 weeks before this week. And we see it happen on Saturday. We see it happen again last night. Do you think there's a world where he will play a 36, 37, 38, 39-minute game in March? Or is this just reality? I mean, where is your level of optimism on this?
I mean, I think eventually, yeah, right? Like, it's going to be just managing and figuring out a way to, like, alleviate the cramps or alleviate most of the pressure. He played 32 yesterday, right? So I presume that he's going to play 36 sometime in March because he's going to be forced to play 36 sometime in March. You know, like, I don't know if he'll be fully healthy for that. I hope he will because I'm kind of tired of this entire saga. I just want to watch him play basketball. Okay. But, you know, I think they're going to have a point where they're going to need him to play 36 minutes. And if he's not playing 36 minutes in March, I don't want to see what a Twitter is going to look like after that because people are mad online.
If the play that happened last night where the ball goes behind his head happened in the round of 32 – people would light Allen Fieldhouse on fire.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I don't blame Kansas fans for being mad. I'm a third-party observer who just wants to watch good basketball and is tired of asking the same press conference questions week in, week out, and I just want to watch him play or figure out if he's not playing or just tell me if he's just playing X minutes a game so I know what to expect. The messaging for this thing has changed like 15 million different times, and I think fans are frustrated. And we even talked to Peterson since – like November, whatever. Like after
that
the
part,
game,
that part is freshman. Nobody's freshman. Talking about that part.
Like fans are expecting too much. Like
okay, but
it because everybody's confused by it. Bill Self's
I disagree.
By it.
I disagree. They're expecting. He's being paid $6 million a year. We can get him in front of the mic. This is
perfect Peterson. You're talking about Peterson. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, don't be surprised that they're not putting a freshman in. Like,
no.
Should but, he be? I mean, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But is it but, unusual that he's not now?
No, I think they're just protecting him with the injury because they didn't let Kevin talk to us even when Kevin had the injury.
It's a weird because like in the NFL you can't talk to injured players. That's just part of it. It's just weird. Is it like
he's live streaming in the locker room on social media? No,
is he? Is he an injured player?
But yeah. This is what I'm saying. The only person he's going to talk to at this rate is the NBA scouts and NBA teams right. When they ask him about this injury. And they're the only one who's going to know what the hell really happened and what didn't happen or whatever the camp's version of happened and didn't happen. And I think I've seen a lot of KU fans frustrated that media is not able to talk to Peterson. So the only thing you can do is poke and prod at Bill Self. And Bill Self has been not the best you know, at having the message on board.
He's having fun with it at this point. He's just messing with everybody. Yeah. Real quick, Shreyas, all of this talk and Peterson, the problem last night had nothing to do with Peterson. The defense looked like crap.
Yeah.
Why? Where did that come from? Why is this a thing now in the Big 12?
Yeah, I don't know. The defensive effort wasn't great to me. You know, they were getting pretty lazy on screens. Yeah. I felt like they had too many guys left wide open to take threes. TCU is not a great offensive team, so that worries me a little bit because Bill called out the defense after the UCF game. They looked good for a half and then just completely collapsed in the second half.
That's what they've got to figure out. All right, Trius, appreciate it. Go find Trius. He's on it. He's all over it.
Hey, they hired Andy Kudelnicki by the end of the way. We didn't talk about that.
Football's still a thing, too. Trius, we appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
That does it. Fun show today. You know, the circumstances don't, like, the topics were fun, I think, today. Very interesting, no matter how you feel about them. Following us, Dan Patrick, Jim Rome, jam-packed. A lot of fun today. Tomorrow we got Tim Fitzgerald coming in. He'll talk about all this portal craziness. We know about the players going out for K-State. What about any of the players coming in? We excited about it. We'll talk to Fitz.
We got
to
get this in tomorrow. Talk to Fitz about this. It's hilarious that every team, these transfer portal editions, everybody sees all of them like, that's a good one. I don't know anything about that guy.
I was telling somebody that yesterday, or one of our producers was like, oh, Nebraska got the UNLV quarterback. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means. Is he good? Is he better than Rayola? Probably not. Like, you can't be excited about that. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. We'll see you.